the Financial Sense Lifetime Planning Program. Here's your host, Jim Poplava.
The Fed will be meeting, and it's widely anticipated they'll be raising the Fed funds rate by 0.75 point. We've seen mortgage rates rise. What does this mean for home buyers in the real estate market? Joining us on the program is Sarah Lindsay. She's also known as the Home Loan Gal. And Sarah, you were in our office making a presentation about what's going on in the housing market. And I wonder if you might share, because a lot of people we've seen real estate go up by double digits. We saw it last year. Places like Phoenix that were up 33%. I think they were up 20% here in San Diego. And so a lot of people are thinking, well, as mortgage rates rise, prices are going to be falling and they're not going to be rising anymore because we could be heading into recession. Your inventory data tells a different story. Let's talk about that.
Yes. So the biggest culprit to housing appreciation or home values is supply and demand. And we have a low inventory level. We haven't been at normal inventory levels nationwide since 2012. So since then, we've been in a very low inventory market, which then we have one of the biggest cohorts in their home buying years, which is that millennial generation looking to purchase homes. So we have low inventory combined with very strong demand, which gives us home price appreciations. We are appreciating. So we can't, nationally, we've raised 19% year over year in home price appreciation. And I think I shared this with you, Jim, too. The average home price appreciation from 1990 to today is 4%. So we've been driving 250 miles an hour on the freeway. As far as home prices go. So we definitely need to slow down. And we're starting to see the market soften. And we're going to start to see headlines saying that we're decelerating, which is true. But we need to slow down to get a little bit. We've been just out of control.
So as you see these low inventory levels and prices rising as they have with double digits, Sarah, what in your opinion is behind the low inventory levels? In other words, if let's say I'm a home builder, let's say I'm Toll Brothers, and I can sell anything I can build and there's still more demand, why would I want to, let's say, open up more projects or even to the point of building homes on speculation?
So it really comes down to this cohort generational demand that we're seeing. With that millennial generation just needing places to live, we're seeing that not only in the home buying market, but we're also seeing in the rental market. Rental, according to Redfin, rental rates have increased 15% year over year too. So we're seeing this appreciation everywhere with housing. We just have a housing shortage. And the statistics from the census was stating that we have been under building homes for the last 14 years. Our 50-year average, we've been under that for the last 14. So we have not been keeping up because of, you know, regulatory reasons. The 2008 financial crash really did a number on home building and a lot of regulations on home builders to get those homes built. And in price points, you know, for those beginning price points, because they want to see a profit. And so they're building more expensive homes with all the regulations and additional costs that builders have to go through. So we're just in a very unique, high demand, low inventory arena. Moving forward, we're starting to build a little bit more, but it's going to take us a long time to make up for the last 14 years of not being able to keep up with what was coming in the demand sector.
Sarah, let's talk about the two demographic elements that are out there. So you have the boomers that are heading into retirement. You know, we deal with a lot of retirees. A lot of them are downsizing their homes, and especially if they live in very expensive areas like California. I've seen clients move to Arizona, not so much now, but we've seen them Texas, Florida, Idaho. Mm-hmm. Then you have another contingent demographic group, which are the millennials, which are going to be moving into their prime earning years here in the next decade. What are you seeing in terms of buyers with those two classes or two different demographic groups?
Well, I can tell you from a national standpoint, the National Association of Realtors says that the millennial market makes up 81% of all first-time home buyers out there. And of all buyers, period, they make up 43%. So I don't know exactly what the boomer size of that is, the boomer generation, but regardless, we have people that need to have housing. So they're looking at, you know, moving down, downsizing, like you mentioned, retirement years versus people looking into the millennials looking into getting into their first home. So regardless, we have the two biggest generational cohorts looking for homes. So it's an interesting time.
So when you see rates rising, I think what mortgage rates have almost doubled here in the last 12 months. From your perspective, we know that the Fed will probably meet next week, and it's widely anticipated given the inflation levels that we've seen in CPI and PPI, they're more likely to raise rates 0.75 point. Let's talk about the impact that you're seeing in mortgage rates, because on the long end, when you look at the 10-year treasury or the 30-year treasury bond, that's been heading down as the yield curve inverts. So what do you see happening with mortgage rates?
They're definitely been on the increase since the beginning of the year. They have gone up about 3% since the end of December of 21 to now. They are still creeping up, and it has to do with a couple of different factors. One is inflation. It's the arch nemesis of mortgage rates. And the other factor is the Fed bond buying program. So with regards to mortgage rates are based on the supply and demand of mortgage bonds. And so the federal government was buying mortgage-backed securities to buy a lot and buying a lot of the supply, keeping rates artificially low to stimulate the economy and get people purchasing, which has been great for mortgage interest rates. But as inflation started to rear its ugly head, the government getting out of that bond buying program, not only that, but also not reinvesting the funds that they're receiving from their current supply that they hold, is really increasing the mortgage-backed security market. So there's more of a supply and then less demand to purchase those. We get a big supply of that. Oh, and the economic stimulus. Government gets their funds from putting bonds out on the market. So we have this supply of bonds, not as many people purchasing those bonds because they're, you know, it's a softer, it's a safer investment avenue where you can get bigger returns on more aggressive assets. And we have interest rates go up to entice people to buy, investors to purchase bonds. And so we're getting those rise in rates. But I'll tell you this, if we can get a hold of inflation, it would actually be a good thing for mortgage rates. So with even, I know that they were talking about with this 9.1% inflation data that we got last week and maybe talking about raising interest rates, the federal funds rate, 0.5 percentage point to news being leaked that they're going to go back probably to about 0.75% rate increase next week when they meet, was not good for mortgage bonds, was not good for mortgage rates. So actually, if the Fed is more aggressive in getting a hold of inflation, I know it seems counterintuitive that the Fed's raising the Fed funds rate, but it would actually be really good for mortgage rates. So, and if we end up in any kind of recession, which there's talk of that, we might be in one now, we might be in one in the future, mortgage rates always do well in recessions. On average, the last six recessions that we've had, mortgage rates have decreased about 1.8% in that process.
Yeah, because I know, I forget which Fed governor is talking about that GDP this second quarter would be negative 1.6%. So technically, we had a negative quarter in the first quarter. Mm-hmm. And if this is a negative quarter, technically that would be considered a recession, but we still have high employment at this time, but a lot of that is participation rate. So let's just say the Fed sticks with 0.75 and the market doesn't like that because they don't think it's strong enough to contain inflation. In fact, the producer prices that came out last week, seventh month in a row, they were double digits. It was up 11.3%. So there's still more inflation in the pipeline. What might that imply for mortgage rates?
that they'll continue to deteriorate, I mean, or increase, I should say. I think of bond prices go down. So that's a deterioration in the market, but that means mortgage rates go up. So as long as inflation keeps rising and we're not getting in control of that, interest rates will continue to rise, which is also indicative of a recession too. We are always rising interest rates when we enter into a recession before they start taking action to get rates lower to help stimulate the economy and get out of that recession.
So let's talk about the impact that we've seen over the last couple of years, where we've seen housing prices go up double digits, and now you have mortgage rates that have more than doubled. What about the affordability index? In other words, at what point do we have to get where it really starts to impact the real estate market? We're seeing some softening, and I heard that, you know, you're no longer seeing somebody put their house on the market and they're getting over asking prices. A lot of that seems to be going away. But at what point do you think mortgage rates get to that has a big impact on housing?
Well, we're starting to see that now. Mortgage interest rates have been making it less affordable for people to purchase homes. I talked to a lot of buyers, but a lot of first-time home buyers as well, that are just getting priced out of the market. So that is already happening now. And we're starting to see an increase in inventory levels, not necessarily because of new inventory, but just the slowing of the demand as people get priced out of this market. So that is already happening now. And as interest rates continue to increase, that will also escalate the slowdown.
Sarah, what about the different price brackets for homes? I think one of the graphs you had showed us in your presentation is, inventory was very low, even for homes that are a million. But when you start getting into the McMansions, the $4-5 million homes, that's where you're seeing a lot of inventory build. Homes are staying on the market longer, and possibly that's where you're seeing your price declines first.
Absolutely. And that's indicative of a slowing market. You're always going to see it in the extremities first. We're going to see a decrease or increase or decrease of investment property and or vacation home demand. People starting to sell those secondary assets. And those higher price points will start to show those turns first. I think I shared, because I'm in San Diego, California, and I think I had shared a graph that showed our month supply of inventory here, just as an example, because we're starting to see everyone's nationwide, we're seeing a softening of the market, but we're talking about a slow deceleration, which is very much needed right now. The price points from, 250,000 for a home up to, I think it was $5 million. We're all under a 2-month supply of inventory. And just to put that in perspective, a 6-month supply of inventory on the market is a normal, regular market. That's why it would take 6 months for all the buyers to buy up all of the inventory that's available. That's where rates, home prices are stable. Anything below a 6-month inventory level is when we have higher demand than inventory. And so we start to see home prices appreciate. And that's been the market that we've been in for over 10 years. And it's not until we get into that 7-month and higher amount of inventory where we actually start to see home prices depreciate. So just in my little pocket of home inventory levels, we're under a 2-month supply up to a $5 million price point. So that just shows that we have a really long way to go before we get to anything that's quote unquote normal. Go ahead.
Yeah, that was one of the things that surprised us in your presentation, that rather than seeing a major decline, it's just going to be a slower rate of increase. And that reflects back to we're just short of supply.
Correct. That's exactly what it is. We have a long ways to go, and the media is going to take up on this and just eat it up and throw out all those catching headlines. That's going to strike fear in the consumer that's reading it, that's what they're supposed to do. They want you to, read their articles. They want you to click on their articles, whatever your means of reading that information. But just know that we need to slow down. deceleration is a whole lot different than depreciation. We have a long way to go with the lack of inventory that we have, the lack of new home builds over the last 14 years, with these very large cohorts of people that want and need homes and are looking for homes to be able to get into any kind of depreciating market. Now, I mean, unfortunately, we can only look back at our data. We can't really look forward, but it, looking back is kind of indicative of what is going to happen moving forward. And so everything's showing us that we're going to still have home price appreciation over the next 5 years. I think the home price expectation survey was giving an average appreciation nationally of about 9%, which compared to 19% last year, I mean, that's a big drop. That's a big slowdown. But if you look at it in comparison to the national historical annual average of home price appreciation, which is 4%, I mean, that's still maybe not moving 250 miles an hour on the freeway. Maybe we slow down to 100.
Well, you know, the thing, when you show those inventory levels, they were very, very low until you got to about 5 million where it's softening. And that would reflect, you know, if you think of somebody that has a $5 million home or more, they're probably the same kind of people that have money in the stock market. And with the stock market being down anywhere from 20 to 40%, depending on the index, I think that would impact that market. But basically, in the markets below that, I don't care, you know, our definition in California of a millionaire is a homeowner. So you see that continuing. Sarah, what are you telling clients? You know, what we're telling clients now that want to buy a house, we're saying, look, if you want to buy a house, you got to think of a house that you want to be in for a few years. You're not going to flip this. So make sure that you like the neighborhood, you like where you're moving, you like where you're living, because, you know, we just can't take it for granted that they're going to see the same kind of price appreciation that we've seen running up to this year. So what are you telling clients to do?
Exactly the same thing. Maybe phrasing it a little bit differently, but you need housing. Right? Everyone needs a place to live. And whether you're looking at the rental market or the housing purchasing market, you're looking at astronomical rates of appreciation over the last 2 years, which, you know, we are slowing down. You need a place to live. If you are going to be living anywhere for a longer period of time, I would say a minimum of 5 years, then go ahead and buy. And I show them the statistics of what home prices are expected to do over the next 5 years. Because the biggest concern is no one wants to buy a house and have it depreciate. They don't want to lose value in their investment. And that's really the biggest question I get is, should I buy a home right now or should I wait to buy a home? And so I just show them, yes, this deceleration in the market is good for you because you might have been discouraged in the past 2 years because of crazy amounts of bidding wars and a lot of competition out there and, you know, just kind of getting beaten up as a buyer. But as this deceleration and this softening of the market and this transition that we're starting to go to into a more healthy real estate market, they're going to have more opportunity to purchase that home that they want to live in and not necessarily, you know, competing with 10 other buyers that want that same home. So I tell them to, you know, be patient. It's coming. Keep your pulse on the market. Let them know what they can qualify for within their budget range and just make sure they're looking. And they're starting to see, and I have home buyers that are starting to see that change. And I have home buyers coming back to me that were, you know, kind of upset about what's happened over the past 2 years. And you can't blame them, coming back and saying, hey, we're seeing more coming onto the market and more things that we like coming onto the market. You know, let's get back into this home buying search again.
Sarah, what would you be telling, somebody that is looking into the market in terms of mortgage rates? If we know that we're more likely to head into a recession, that basically if that happens and eventually they do get inflation under control, we're already seeing long-term rates come down. So would you go to like a variable rate, like maybe a fixed mortgage with the rate locked in on 5 or 7 years to keep the rate down and then hopefully when rates come down, maybe in a year or so, you can refinance. What are you telling clients to do?
So getting a little bit more creative in your mortgage structure is definitely becoming a bigger topic of conversation amongst buyers. When the 30-year fixed interest rate is 2.5%, there's really no need to talk about any kind of creative mortgage planning. But as interest rates are, you know, creeping into the 6% range, and we're looking at what's kind of going on in the economy, I am starting to have those conversations where we can look at shorter term fixed rates for a lower interest rate offering in the beginning, and then looking at maybe possibly them getting into other financing in the future. I'm not a huge fan of projecting what rates are going to do. When I want to make sure, and I make sure I do this with all my clients, is that they're comfortable with the financing that they get in case anything happens or what we think is going to happen doesn't, that they're okay for whatever equates to their goal. So if that's a 5-year period, a 7-year period, they're going to be safe with regards to their mortgage program in that time frame. But if what we think is going to happen and what we're projecting to happen based on what we've seen in the past does, and we see a decrease, then they're prepared to take advantage of that when that actually happens in the market.
So as we close here, Sarah, so summarizing, you know, under 5 million, there's still low inventory. So rather than falling prices in those categories or pricing categories, you just see a slower rate of acceleration. So housing prices are still going to go up because of lack of supply. So given that, why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about your company? You're rather unique. You're one of the top mortgage brokers in the country, and also that you are able to do business around the country. Tell our listeners a little bit about your company.
I'm known as the Home Loan Gal, but I work for a mortgage bank called Synergy One Lending. We just do residential mortgage financing. And just because we just do residential mortgage financing doesn't mean we're small. We're actually a nationwide company, which allows us to do financing in any state that you're located in for the most part. My specialty is the planning aspect of mortgage, which I don't think a lot of people think about. They think, you know, we're trained from a marketing standpoint to get the lowest interest rate on a mortgage. And you think that's, you know, lowest rate on a 30-year fix, let's do it. That's not necessarily the best case because there's a lot of mortgage options out there that have really low rates but have higher costs involved with them that might not be the best solution for you. So my specialty is finding the right structure for that mortgage for what that matches a client's goals over their desired term to save them the most money and also increase their wealth. There's lots of questions with regards to how much down payment should they pay cash versus for a home versus getting a mortgage, especially in these highly competitive markets. Should they purchase investment properties, second homes, short-term goals versus long-term goals all have an impact on that overall strategy. And really, it's the best mortgage program that fits those goals with the lowest rates to help save a client the most money and create them the most wealth over their desired term is what we should be going for. And that's a holistic effort with their financial advisors, because it has an impact on their overall financial plan and their tax advisors, because it does and can have an impact on the taxes that they pay. So we should take all those things into consideration to make sure the client is meeting their goals.
Well, the great thing about the company you work for, they do nothing more than just strictly housing mortgage loans. So Sarah, if our listeners would like to contact you regarding a mortgage, how could they do so?
Easiest way is probably just to go to my website, which is homeloangal.com. They can get a little bit more information about me and my company and can contact me through there.
All right. Well, listen, Sarah, thanks so much for joining us on the program and informing our listeners. All the best, and I hope you come back again.
Thanks, Jim. I'd love to.
The Financial Sense NewsHour is for informational and educational purposes only and should not be considered as a solicitation or offer to purchase or sell any securities. The investments, investment strategies, and investment philosophies discussed or presented on the NewsHour each involve their own unique risk factors, which are not discussed on the show. Responses to listener inquiries are based on the personal opinions of the Financial Sense staff and do not take into account listener suitability, objectives, or risk tolerance. Financial Sense NewsHour and its parent company shall not be liable for any financial losses that result from investing in any companies mentioned in Financial Sense or arising out of the use of any material on the NewsHour. Please be advised that you invest at your own risk.